Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. The news broke in the last hour. Derek Carr is going to be out a couple weeks with an oblique injury. And now the decision is, do you go with Jake Haener or do you go with the rookie in Spencer Rattler? Your thoughts on first of all, on last night's game, which really the score was no indication. Kansas City dominated that game much more than the 26-13 score was. And your thoughts, too, on where you think this may lead to the Saints, because I got a feeling both quarterbacks are going to play. No matter what, you're probably going to see both Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler play over the next 2 weeks. But your thoughts on how that transpired?
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, a pleasure to be with you guys. Obviously, that game last night, I mean, Kansas City is a dominant football team. And, you know, although the score wasn't indicative, what was it, 26-13 or whatever it was, and, you know, they struggled in the red zone. They should have, you know, had a touchdown, a drop pass that got intercepted by Saunders. So, you know, that was a great play by him, but that probably should have been a touchdown. But, you know, I think we get mesmerized by how incredible Mahomes is and his ability to extend plays and some of the things he does. But, you know, the thing that just struck me last night as I was watching them is, you know, a couple of things. One, they're a physical football team. They beat you up on the line of scrimmage. And I don't think you really think about Kansas City that way, because we've thought about them being so skilled and their quarterback being so incredible that we tend to forget. We get mesmerized by his abilities. And then we quit looking at what they're actually doing. They're just beating you up physically. And then, you know, in a day and age where everybody's injured, we talked about the Saints. Hey, man, they lost their center. They lost their starting right guard. You know, they've had injuries. All right, and how's it affecting them? Like, there's nobody more injured than Kansas City Chiefs. And yet, it doesn't matter. They pick up a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster off the street in September. He's got 130 yards receiving. Or they picked him up, I think, in August. They picked up Kareem Hunt in September. He's got 100 yards rushing. You know, like they just keep doing it time and time again with different replacements, and all they do is win. And defensively, let me tell you, they're just maybe the best defense in football. I mean, they're physically dominant. And when you look at the running backs they faced, every one of them, I mean, King Henry had his worst game of the season. He had like 40-some-odd yards, maybe 3.5 yards a carry. And then everybody else, Kamara last night had a 1.9-yard per carry average at 26 yards or something of that nature. Like, every back they've faced has basically been shut down, and they have been able to do that. And that's dominating line of scrimmage, you know, with Bolton coming off the ball, and then obviously Chris Jones is just a freak show as a defensive tackle. And then to your question about the quarterbacks, like when I did game one in New Orleans when everybody was healthy, you know, the difference between Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler, like, for me, and again, this is how you operate the offense. How good are you? You know, Haener's been the guy that's been the backup. But there was a difference in the way the ball came out of each of their hands. And I'm just telling you, Spencer Rattler lets it eat. Like, that guy has got some athleticism. And when he throws the ball, man, it is – I mean, it just jumps out of his hand. And every time he was in, you know, running the scout team or whatever, and they were rotating some reps, you know, as the number twos go in and play a little bit of offense on a Friday when I'm standing out there at practice, every time he threw the ball, I was like, damn, I did not realize that Spencer had it like that. That dude can sling it. So I don't know that he'll be the starter or that he won't be the starter, but I was certainly just watching him in practice kind of impressed by the way he threw the ball.
Now, Mark, going back to the Chiefs-Saints game, and you look at the Chiefs, I don't know, you might say, well, they're not really playing at the highest level offensively, but the bottom line is that did you win or lose the game, and now they're 5-0, and everyone gives Andy Reid a lot of credit. But you old enough, and you realize what Spags. I mean, to me, what they do defensively, that's why they won the Super Bowl last year, to me, is from the defensive side of the ball, and that's parlayed into this season. Do you have any explanation? Because I've never witnessed this. If you look at Spags, outstanding, winning Super Bowls with the Giants. He goes on to head coach of the Rams. He flops. He doesn't do anything. And then he comes to the Saints. It's one of the, I think it's the worst defense in NFL history. Now, I didn't want to say it was 2012. It was unbelievable. Then now look what he's doing with the Chiefs. You have any answer for that? I don't know, right place, right time. The players do make a difference. But to me, that's mind-boggling how it's not, you know, how you handle adversity and what do you do. But Spags, to me, that's the difference in how aggressive they are with the blitz and all. But that Chiefs defense, and I know Mahomes loves that.
Yeah, no question. The other thing they've done, I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Brett Veach, their general manager. And they won a Super Bowl last year. And at one point, when they're playing dime coverages, that, like when they have six defensive backs in, they had seven rookies playing last year. I mean, they were littered with rookies and first-year players. That's what they had on their entire defense. And so, like, not only Spags, like, implementing what he's doing, but also them being great at the waiver wire, them being great in the draft, them knowing exactly what they want, the kind of players they want, the guys that fit what they want to do. And sometimes you take a job and you don't have the players, like, your scheme doesn't necessarily fit the players you have, and it takes you a bit of time to figure that out. And then you're like, okay, well, now I got to change some of the things I wanted to do. And, like, those are things that take time, and oftentimes in this game, we don't have patience for time. Like I was just talking on a Dallas station, and I'm like, you know, maybe the first couple of weeks were the outlier, and maybe this version of the Dallas defense, the way they're defending the run right now, maybe the last couple of weeks are actually like who they are, who they're becoming. Maybe they start to understand, you know, Mike Zimmer's scheme a little bit more, and they're better in gap control, and they're using the techniques they've been taught. Maybe the first couple of weeks it just wasn't very good or wasn't very clean. So, you know, you always kind of look at that stuff. But I think Spags, you know, when you talk about the talent they have defensively, the ability to put them in positions to make plays, they just make plays in critical moments. They do a great job of that. And then the adjustments. I mean, I think they've given up touchdowns on a bunch of first drives all season long, and even going back to last year, and then they just start playing clampdown defense after that, you know, after seeing what teams are doing, making the adjustments and being able to, you know, to be able to shut teams down. And I think that's a big, you know, that's a big feather in the cap of Spags.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Bob?
Now, Sting, how important you think, you're one snap and clear whether you win or lose, but it seems like a different season. It seems like, but that was a long time ago. The Saints come out smoking. They crush Carolina. They crush Dallas. And then all of a sudden, you go on a losing streak. And then you got to play 3 games in 10 days. Now, okay, we 0-1, lost to Kansas City. Short week. That's 2-for-1. You play in Tampa Bay, NFC South. And then you got on Thursday Night Football, Sean Payton coming to town. I know Sean wants to beat the Saints, and the Saints organization wants to beat Sean. So how, I mean, you know, U.S. is never mathematically a must win, but I'm thinking in the NFC South that, you know, I said, we got to beat Carolina the first game, even though it's the first game. I think we're in that situation now since they lost Atlanta, which they had a great opportunity to win that game. Look, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons offense didn't even score a touchdown, but they still able won, who won and lost. But I'm looking at Tampa Bay. I think the Saints have to win come Sunday.
Yeah, they're, you know, I know it's early and there's no such thing as, you know, a must win, but they do feel like must wins. And you gave one away against Atlanta, and you mentioned that, you know, they had the muffed punt for a touchdown. They had the pick six for a touchdown. And the Atlanta Falcons don't score an offensive touchdown, and somehow you lose that game. Like, completely unacceptable. And, you know, and now you're going to have to do it with a backup quarterback. But remember, you know, Denver went down to Tampa a couple of weeks ago with a rookie quarterback and beat him 26-7. So there is that opportunity. You're just going to have to play really clean. And like I said, it's never a must win, but it feels like somewhat of a must win. Like, you're going to have to play well, and you're going to have to take some of the pressure off a young quarterback who's going to get their opportunity to play. So, yeah, there's no question. It feels that way. And let's face it, man, if you don't, you know, at least steady the ship and at least win a game or two coming down the stretch here while Derek Carr is out, it feels like it could get to be a long season if that doesn't happen. So they're not must wins, but boy, I tell you what, they're pretty close to being must wins.
Mark, one of the things that showed up today, first casualty of the season at head coach with Robert Saleh, his defense has given up 36 points the last three games.
Was that the defense's fault?
My thing is, okay, Aaron Rodgers has got to take some, you know, blame here. In the last 2 weeks, he's played El Stinko at quarterback. He has not played well, and now it's solely on him. Because now you got no other guy to blame here, okay?
Yeah,
if it doesn't turn out.
Yeah, offensively they have been awful. And, you know, Robert Saleh has a top five defense in pretty much every category that you can have a top five defense in, and that includes after week one where they got shellacked by the 49ers. So they've been really good offensively. You know, they have been out of sync. Rodgers has not found, you know, his rhythm. He has not found his receivers. They have not been able to, you know, they just have not been able to kind of put anything together offensively. They've had a couple of injuries on the offensive line, which was the weak link coming into this thing, and they haven't been able to run the ball. Therefore, you know, you look at the whole kit and caboodle. They haven't been able to protect Rodgers the last couple of weeks. You know, the Broncos got him for a bunch of sacks. Minnesota pressured him consistently, created, you know, opportunities. He threw three picks. Like, this is an offensive issue, and from a play calling standpoint, you're doing nothing to take pressure off that offensive line. And, you know, I often think, like, who's in charge? And if you want to blame Saleh for anything, blame him for not being in charge. Like, if that's what you want to fire him for, I get that, because, you know, there was that New England game when they came off and he was ready to celebrate with Rodgers, and Rodgers kind of pushed him, and then they have to make up a story about, you know, 2-score lead this, and, you know, I just got in his face and said, hey, I got you a 2-score lead, you know, and then it's the cadence the next week. And Rodgers is basically circumventing his coach's authority about cadence, you know, and he responds to it. And so they certainly don't seem like they've been hunky-dory or on the same page, to say the least. And ultimately, then you're going to tell me that Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, called Rodgers last night on a Monday night and didn't ask him about, you know, where you want to go moving forward. Said he didn't talk to him about firing Robert Saleh. He just decided to do that today. Like, that doesn't pass the smell test, man. That is, there's a lack of transparency, and there's a lack of integrity in that statement, I believe. So, yeah, that just feels like a mess, but it just feels like the same old Jets that we always talk about, that we always hear about.
Hello, dysfunctional Jets. And, Mark, when you look at, I know, you know, you can break down, we play 17 games now instead of 16, so you break it down in quarters, so I'm going to say this is, you know, a big enough sample size somewhat to evaluate. When you look at the AFC and the NFC, to me, the two teams, boy, you got to be excited if you're part of that fan base, would be the Commanders and the Vikings. Can they sustain the success? I know we all know Jane Daniels. We in Tiger country, LSU, fighting Tigers. So we saw that with Jane Daniels. It was so too bad for him that the defense sucked, because he was unbelievable. But Jane Daniels, what he's doing with the Commanders, and then you look at the Vikings, that's why how you handle adversity. You never give up. Look at Sam Darnold. Boy, but you got to be impressed to me. Out of all the teams in the NFL, so a small size, a sample size, but what the Vikings and the Commanders have done.
Yeah, there ain't no question. Jaden Daniels is special, man. And, you know, on top of that, though, it takes more than just Jaden Daniels being special. They readdressed that offensive line. And then Cliff Kingsbury, you got to give Cliff Kingsbury a lot of credit. Look at himself, evaluate himself, kind of look at what he did. He took that job kind of as a consultant at USC, just to be around it again, and then really evaluated, like, what he was doing as the offensive coordinator, what he was doing as a play caller. And, and then brought in Anthony Lynn, who was a teammate of mine with the Broncos, head coach of the Chargers, the Bills, really understands the run game, is a hardcore run game guy, worked in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan, so he really knows that part. And then your ability to go, okay, I need to be, like, I need to have tight ends that can block people. I need to have, you know, I need to be able to condense formations. You know, I was all spread, four wides, all that kind of stuff when I first got my opportunity with Kyler Murray. What else do I want to do for the young quarterback? Well, let me bring in a guy like Marcus Mariota, who's been through the battles, who was a second overall pick like Jaden Daniels was, who, you know, who's struggled, who's had those learning opportunities. Let me bring him in that quarterback room so my quarterback has somebody that can he can lean on that's been through some of those things, you know, that's had some highs, that's had some lows. Like all those different things that Cliff Kingsbury learned in his first go-around as the head coach of Arizona, I think that's made a huge difference. Now, hey, Dan Quinn will be the first to tell you, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, hey, defensively, man, we got you know, growing pains, and we've got a lot of things that we've got to get better at. But the bottom line is there's non-negotiables there in Washington. They're going to play hard. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to play hard, and they're going to play hard for one another. And those are non-negotiables. And if you don't play that way for Dan Quinn, you don't get to play. And so there's a great culture brewing in Washington. And then Jaden Daniels, watching him grow and watching him, you know, be coached up from week to week and say, hey, man, you got to be better at this. Like, I talked to him after week one, and I'm like, hey, man, what do you think about this? You know, I saw a couple of routes that I thought, you know, me personally, as I'm studying film, I thought you need to throw those routes. You took off running. Like, what do you have to say? Like, how would you assess that? And he's just like, total ownership. Yeah, I got to be better at that. And then I get him 2 weeks later, and you can see a marked improvement in the way he operates behind the line of scrimmage, not running because he can, running just because he, you know, only if he's forced to, only if he has to. And then the connection he's developed on the deep ball with Terry McLaurin, it's been really cool to watch it happen, and it's happened in a microwave. Like, this thing has happened like overnight, and just a great kid. One of those kids, when you meet him and you talk to him and you see the passion and the love that he has for teammates and the game and everything else, man, you just can't help but root for him because he's just that cool a kid.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy having you on and your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
You guys do well.
All right, Mark. I'll enjoy watching you in the morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. That was all right. Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.